And now, Lord, we pray for the study this evening. We ask that you would anoint your word to go forth, that you would speak into our lives. Again, we thank you for this book of James and what you are revealing to us, Lord, about your will for our lives, Lord, and these walks that we're walking, Lord, and pray that you would just teach us, mold us, and shape us more into your image, Lord. Bless the discussion afterwards as well, and where we've sat this past couple of weeks, Lord. May we just learn more about you and your will for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we finished out chapter 1 of James this past couple of weeks with this lesson number 7. And he finishes out telling us about what pure religion is to God. And we looked specifically at verses 20 through 27. I'm going to read those, and then we're going to just go through them a little bit. Starting in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any one among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And so, this section starts with, but be doers of the word. So, when we see that, we have to look back a little bit and say, why is he saying this? Because this obviously follows something. And we can look at the whole chapter and kind of break it down and say, okay, now that we've seen a few things here, we can get to becoming a doer of the word. We looked at the fact that James himself called himself a bondservant, and we talked about the fact that a bondservant is one who is a servant by choice, and that should be our desire. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became his bondservant. We became his servant by choice. And so that's where this all starts out. And then he moves into trials and the fact that we should consider trials in our lives. We should count it joy when different trials come into our lives. And that these trials were external trials. And that they're working out, maturing us in Christ and bringing us into different levels of wisdom in Christ. Each trial that he brings produces something else. We looked at the fact that our trials test our faith, and through our faith being tested, patience is produced. And patience has to have its perfect work. It has to have its way in our life so that we can be complete. We can be perfected, that we'll lack nothing. And if we do lack anything, that we can come to God. And one of those things that we often will lack is wisdom. And he says, if you lack wisdom, come to me and I'll give it to you. So we looked at that. And we looked at the fact that we need to come to him asking in faith and not doubting, not being tossed about like a wave of the sea, or being tossed like a branch in the wind. And we looked at what being double-minded was and how it makes us unstable when we go back and forth. He then turned to temptations, which come from within, and we looked at the different places that temptation can come from. And the main place that it's going to come from is from our own desires and our own lusts. And then when we sit on them and we ponder those, they can be conceived into sin. And but he was very careful to warn us that we don't blame God when temptation comes in, because he will not bring a temptation of sin into our lives. That he brings good, we looked at last time, good gifts. And anything good that comes our way, we know is from above. And we finished out last time with the fact that in verse 21, he says, therefore, knowing all of this, knowing that trials do us have a purpose in our lives, they do us good, they're for our growth, knowing that good comes from God, not temptation to sin, because he is never going to lead us into something that he hates. He reminds us that we need to lay aside those things that he considers filthiness or the overflow of wickedness, but instead we need to be receiving the word which he has implanted in us. We have to get rid of that junk. And so then he says, but, so looking at that, looking at the trials and looking at the good gifts that he gives, and looking that we need to be receiving of the receiving his word and laying aside all this other stuff that leads to sin or is sinful in our lives, he says, now be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if we're hearers only, we're still deceiving ourselves. He gets into the nitty-gritty here. He's getting into the meat now in this section. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's very easy for us. We are well fed. If you go to a Calvary Chapel, you are well fed. Lots of Bible studies you can be involved in. Good teaching, line upon line. You know, you come Wednesday night, you're going to get the Old Testament. You come Sunday morning, you're getting the New Testament. It's very easy to be a hearer of the word, to be taking it in, taking it in, taking it in. Now he's saying, don't just be taking it in, but you need to be applying it. You need to be doing it in your life. Because if we're just listening to it and not applying it, he says we're like a man who observes his face in a mirror, leaves, and forgets what kind of man he was. It's very easy for us to be hearing, and I don't know how many of you, you'll hear a word and you'll go, oh, the Lord just spoke to my heart. And then you'll go home, and half an hour later, somebody will say to you, so, well, what'd you learn at church today? And you're like, well, you know, and we're hard-pressed to pick out even one thing out of a 45-minute sermon that we learned at church that day. Or you'll have a great quiet time, you know, and the Lord will speak to you during your quiet time or through some devotion or something, but you get downstairs and all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute, what did I just read? And I think that's what this is saying. We can be good hearers of the word, but if we're not applying it, if we're not taking it and putting it into practice, we're going to forget what it says. We need to be applying that word. And I think here it also says immediately we forget what kind of, he forgets what kind of man he was. If we're not applying God's word, we might be tempted to forget, you know, who we were even outside of Christ. Or we might be thinking a little too highly of ourselves than we ought when we're not applying his word to our lives. So we need to be really careful. We need to ask ourselves, where is my heart? In verse 25, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Where is my heart? Do I consider God's law, the perfect law of liberty? If you talk to a lot of unbelievers, one of their reasons for not becoming a believer, one of the biggest ones I've heard is, I've got to give up too much. You know, think of all the things I'm going to have to give up. I don't know about you, but I find such freedom in being a believer, because instead of unbelievers look at the Bible as being restrictive, well, it keeps you from having fun, or, you know, different views like that. But for me, there's such freedom, and I don't have to worry about the consequences of sin, what some of those fun times are going to bring. You know, sin is pleasurable for a season, but the wages of sin is death. And so they might not want to give up those pleasures of sin, but eventually the consequences of sin weigh heavy. But if you're in Christ and you're being a doer of His word, there is such freedom in it. I don't have to worry about going to the doctor and having some disease because I'm within His bounds for marriage. You know, I don't have to worry about whatever the consequence may be if I'm following His rules. When we step outside of those rules, that's when worry comes in. That's when the guilt comes in, the shame comes in, and all that stuff. And there's no freedom in that. The freedom comes in when we are inside the bounds of what He labels here the perfect law of liberty. It's very freeing to continue in that, to walk in those ways, and not being forgetful of what we're hearing, but doing it. And He says, this one will be blessed in what he does. And he goes on to say, if any of you thinks he is religious, yet he doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. And this one's religion is useless. So we may set ourselves up some good rules that we think are going to keep us safe or whatever. But if they're not God's rules, they're not freedom in that either. We're setting up perhaps our own religion, you know, our own legalism or whatever the case may be. But I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. I've tried to do it. Well, I'm going to be better at this. And I set up my own parameters. Well, guess what? It ends up in frustration or, I'm tired or whatever, because it's not God's perfect law of liberty. It's what I've set up. It's my own rules, my own set of parameters, and there is no freedom in that, and I'm deceived in that. And it can go to my tongue setting up these rules as well. And I can even tell other people, whatever I think, well, this is the rules that I've set up for me, and I think you need to follow those rules as well, and all of that. And yet, if I'm not walking in God's ways and doing what He wants me to be doing, then my heart's deceived, and this religion is useless. But if it's His rules and His way, then I'll be blessed in what I do. But I have to ask myself in this, because the Lord has some to say about the tongue and bridling the tongue. We know if we look further into James, he talks about both blessing and cursing coming from the same tongue. That ought not to be so. We have to be careful. You know, when you think about bridling the tongue, I immediately look at a horse and, you know, they have the bit in the mouth and the bridle goes over the head and that horse is steered by that tongue. Well, our tongues are the smallest member of our body, yet can bring a whole heap of trouble. But the Lord also says what's coming off of our tongue can be a reflection of what's in our heart. So my tongue can be a good, what I might say, thermometer of what's going on inside. We can look at the tongue and say, okay, Lord, what's going on? And ask the question, where is my heart based on what's coming out of my mouth? Is there a lot of venom coming out of my mouth? Then something's going on in my heart that needs correction. I was having a bad day yesterday. I apologize to anybody who's here if I offended anybody or was standoffish to anybody or anything like that. I was just having a bad day. You know, I was missing Noah, not sure where, if he was heading to a church service or anything or not. That mama's worry was kind of boiling in my heart, and then my little boys were causing some issues as well, and it just all just festered, and I was having a bad day, and I took it right to bed last night all through the day, you know. But it was a pretty good reflection of where my heart was, you know, because I was snipping at people, or I was quiet, or I was, you know, the tongue was just a good reflection of what was going on inside. And I eventually did have to go to the Lord and say, okay, this isn't good. But I do want to look at a few verses about our heart, because it is a good reflection of where we're at. First off, Psalm 55, verse 21. Says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. So our mouths might be saying one thing, but our hearts might be in a completely different place. We need to be careful with our mouths. Because here, smoother than butter, that sounds pretty good. Softer than oil, you know, oil makes the skin soft and all of that, but something wasn't right in the heart. War was in the heart, and there were drawn swords. That's not a good thing. Our mouth can be deceptive. We need to be careful. Our hearts are desperately wicked, and we need to be careful. But be willing to ask people, how you doing? No, really, how you doing? You know, I was blessed. You know, Lori asked me last night, how are you doing? You know, and because she could tell, I think, there's something not right there, you know. And so from that point on, I had to go, okay, Lord, I need to check out my heart because it's not in the right place. But my words were trying to be kind to everybody yesterday and all of that. But here they can be contrary. Jeremiah 9:8. Says, their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. So some flattering words were coming out, but the heart was in a completely different place. But it's the tongue that shoots the arrow sometimes. So, but on the same tongue can be blessings and cursings. And here we see that opposition. He's speaking peaceably, yet his heart, there was a different motive there. So where is my heart? We need to be asking to ourselves. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And this is where sometimes we can say, all right, I'm seeing some venom coming out of that mouth, you know. What's the condition of my heart when that's happening? You know, I have times where I'm just downright in a bad mood, and I am not nice to the people in my home. And half the time, it's not their fault. More than half the time, it's not their fault. It's just, I'm just... Well, years ago, it might have been her fault, but now, no. But I need to step back sometimes and go, okay, there is poison shooting out of me, and why is that? What is the true state of my heart, Lord? And search me and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me, and let's deal with it and get past this. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it goes on, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. So be careful of your words. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our mouth shows us where we're at. 9 times out of 10. Over just a couple chapters in Matthew 15. Verse 18. Says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So getting back to James, where he says, bridle the tongue, because sometimes the things that are coming out will either defile us or it's going to defile somebody else. So we need to be careful. But again, and I know I'm repeating myself, out of the mouth is coming what's truly in the heart. And Luke 6:45 repeats what we just heard, but a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And this gets back to be a doer of the word. With our mouth, we might be saying, I'm religious, I'm at church on Sunday, I'm at church on Wednesday, but I'm calling him Lord. I may even, you know, throw the name Jesus in here every now and then, but my mouth is showing me my heart's in a different place. Perhaps I have not made him my Lord. And he's saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things which I say? My word is telling you to do this, but you're not doing it. You're not living in the way that pleases me, yet you're calling me Lord. Your mouth isn't lining up with your heart. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against that house. It could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. So why do we want to be a doer of his word? Because his word is a sure foundation. When the world comes in, when those various trials that we face come in, we're not going to be shaken. And that's why he comes to the... Let me go through all of this in the beginning of James. These first 21 verses going through all this. Count it joy when you face these trials. Know that good things come from God. Get rid of all that stuff that weighs you down. And do my word, because it's a sure foundation. You're not going to be shaken when all this stuff vehemently beats against us. He doesn't say this is going to be a cozy, easy life. He says the storms are going to come. and beat against you. But when they do, you're not going to be shaken because you're founded on the rock. But in contrast, verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So trials are going to come either way. But if we are doing His word, we're applying His word, we're walking in His ways, when those things come, we're not going to be shaken. We're not going to fall, because it says here, the one who hears is a hearer, but not a doer. The storms come, the trials come, and immediately that house fell. And it was the ruin of that house. I don't know how many times you hear of something coming in to somebody's life, and it brings great destruction. They allow something to come in, whether, you know, an affair, pornography, whatever the case may be, but it does a lot of destruction. And that house, it's often the ruin of that house, that marriage, whatever the case may be. But if we are the ones who are doing His word, when that stuff comes, we're going to stand and not be shaken. Also, in James, he talks about that mirror. And a mirror, yes, is a reflection of ourselves. But I'm going to turn it a little bit. And who should we reflect when we look in the mirror? When people look at us, who should we look like? What should we look like? We should be reflecting Him. Jesus. John chapter 13. This is where Jesus washes His disciples' feet. Beginning in verse 2, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to Him, you shall never wash My feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you, for He knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, you are not all clean. So then He washed their feet, taking His garments, He sat down, and He said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus washes us clean. He says, what I've done to you, you also ought to do for others. Doing His word is taking Jesus to people and letting them know that they can be washed clean by Him. And He says, as I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. When we look in the mirror, do we reflect Him? When people look at us, do we reflect Him? He's given us that example. He's given us the example of being a servant. Are we a servant? He goes on in James to talk about what pure and undefiled religion is. And he says, this is taking care of the orphan, taking care of the widow. Now, those are just two examples that he gives. That's not an all-inclusive list of what God considers pure and undefiled religion. There are many needs out there that we can be putting our hands to. Not necessarily the orphans and the widows, but it's those, he's putting us in mind of those who are in need there. But he also tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We need to be careful of where our hands, what our hands are doing, where our feet are going, what our ears are listening to, what our eyes are looking at. Because those things defile. And rather than doing those things, which he told us in verse 21, put away that stuff, get rid of that. He says, but do my works. So I want to look at a couple of the do's that he would want us to do. And he starts right out in Genesis with a do. Genesis 4, verse 7. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? He's talking to Cain here. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. We see a contrast here. If you do well, will you not be accepted? He's saying to us, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, because he goes on and says, if you do not do well, sin is lying at the door. If you're a hearer only and you're not doing my word, you're setting up those parameters, thinking you're okay, yet sin is crouching there just waiting to grab you. Its desire is for you, it says here, but you should rule over it instead. James 21, put away that stuff, you know, don't go there. You know, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out, right? If you're an alcoholic, don't go to the bar. You know, if you got an issue with pornography, don't go stand in the magazine aisle, you know? If whatever it is, you know, whatever that thing that its desire is for you, stay away from that stuff, you know? We have our computers passcoded. We have, you know, blocks, filters on our computer so that stuff can't come in, you know? Not necessarily because it's our desire to go there, but sin lies at the door waiting, you know? We have our television. None of my kids can get on our television and watch even a cartoon without me putting in a passcode for them. Because we set up these parameters because we know it's lying at the door. It's just waiting. So be a doer of his word. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Yes, you will. You'll be blessed in whatever you do, he says. Micah 6, verse 8. I probably can't even read this without singing this, but he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? You want a list of what being a doer of the word is? Here's the list. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Don't think you've got it all together. I've got this, Lord. I can handle this. I can do it. Don't go there. We need him. But to do justly. Are you being fair in how you treat others? To love mercy. Are you merciful? You know, look at how Jesus treated people. We often look on the outward and decide how we're going to treat somebody based on the outward. That wasn't how Jesus dealt with people. He looked on the inward, and he was merciful. He went to the sinner. He sat with the publican. He invited Zacchaeus into, you know, well, he didn't. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, you know. But he was merciful. He says here to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. Here's a good list of do's here. Look at that. If that's not good enough, go into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 25. It's also repeated in Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far kingdom who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And he who received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents. Saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I gained 2 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. I was afraid and went and hid that talent in the ground. Look, here is what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed, so you ought have at least deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He wants us to be profitable for him. If he's given you a talent or a gift, use it. Don't hide it away. But don't be looking at somebody else either. I think there's a warning in this, and saying, well, they have 10 talents, I should have 10 talents. He gave different amounts of talents here. I mean, to one, he only gave 1 talent, and that should be good enough. But use that talent that he gives you, whatever the case may be. Are you a good housekeeper? Then do it with all your might, you know. Are you a great jewelry maker? Then do it, you know. Use what he's given. Are you a great singer? Use that, you know. Musically inclined, do whatever. At work. You know, you're good at what you do. Use it to bless others, right? You're homeschooling your kids. Do it with all your might. Use what the Lord's given you. And be fruitful with it. But then he goes on and he says, in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Want to know what he means by being a doer of his word? Feed, clothe, give a drink, be kind to a stranger. Somebody's sick, take them a meal. Somebody in prison, write them a letter. You know, whatever. Again, not an all-inclusive list, but when we see a need, do it. Because not only are you doing it physically to that person, Jesus says you're doing it unto me. I'm going to play a song here now. I've probably played it before. It's one of my favorites. Keith Green, I've often said this. If I had to get rid of all of my music and could only keep one artist, I would keep Keith Green. But there's this song. It's called The Sheep and the Goats. She wouldn't.
I don't know.
That's all right. But it's just... He says it like it is. What's that?
The song is terrifying.
I'm sorry.
It's not terrifying anymore. Now I love it.
And when the Son of Man comes, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his glorious throne, and he shall divide the nations before him, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall put the sheep on his right, put the goats on his left, and he shall say to the sheep, hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. They shall answer him, and they'll say, Lord, when were you hungry, Lord, and we gave you something to eat? Lord, when were you thirsty? Can't remember, and we gave you drink. When were you naked, Lord, and we clothed you? Lord, when were you a stranger and we invited you in? I mean, we invited lots of people in. But Lord, I'd never forget that face. But Lord, when were you sick and we visited you? Or in prison and we came to you? Lord, tell us. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, yes. Inasmuch as you've done it to the very least of my brethren, oh, you've done it. You've done it unto me. Enter. and he shall turn to those on his left, the goats. Cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, out in the cold, in exposure, and you sent me away. I was a stranger and I knocked at your door. But you didn't open. You told me to go away. I was sick, racked in pain upon my bed, and I begged and prayed and pleaded that you'd come, but you didn't. I was in prison. Come. I heard your programs on the radio and read your magazines, but you never came. Depart from me. Lord, there must be some mistake. When? Lord, when were you hungry, Lord? And we didn't give you something to eat. And Lord, when were you thirsty and we didn't give you a drink? I mean, that's not fair. Well, would you like something now? One of the angels want to go out and get the Lord a hamburger and a Coke? Oh, you're not hungry. I lost my appetite too. Lord, when were you naked? I mean, that's not fair either, Lord. We didn't even know what size you wear. Well, Lord, when were you a stranger, Lord? You weren't one of those creepy people that used to come to the door, were you? Oh, Lord, that wasn't our ministry, Lord. We just didn't feel led, you know? Well, Lord, when were you sick? What did you have anyway? Well, at least it wasn't fatal. What was? I'm sorry, Lord. I would have sent you a card. Lord, just one last thing. We want to know. Where were you in prison, Lord? Well, what were you in for anyway? I had a friend in Leavenworth. Enough! Much as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Depart from me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous into eternal life. My friends, the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to this scripture, is what they did and didn't do.
So, there's that scripture, puts a music with some different emphasis added, and but it surely gets you to think a bit about being a doer of the word. And I'm by no means saying you have to do all of that stuff. that would be impossible. But if the Lord lays something on your heart, then you really ought to do it. As we were talking about this soup kitchen thing, you know, that's been floating, the idea has been floating around for a couple years. That was brought up a couple years ago. But once again, it's come up again, and I believe it's time, you know. And but be a doer if he's asking you to do something, no matter what it is, no matter how small it may seem, or insignificant maybe you think it is, or I don't know. There's a reason the Lord's put it on your heart. So do it. I've got two scriptures I'm going to finish out with. One has to do with this very same story, but in Luke. There's one little statement that's added in to what the servants are asked to do. In Luke 19, verse 13, this is where the nobleman is leaving, and he's called his servants in, and he's, verse 13, it says, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10, here it says minas, so he's changed it, the terminology just a little bit, and he said to them, do business till I come. And we know here that in this parable, the nobleman is God and goes off to the country. He gives his talents to his servants. And what does he tell the servants? To occupy. Do business till I return. We know Jesus is returning, but he says, occupy. Be a doer of my word until I come back. Use the talents that I give you. Occupy. You know, if you're in this place, for however long you're in this place, be about my business. If I moved you somewhere else, then occupy there until, you know, but occupy until I return. Do business till I come. We need to be about his business. Otherwise, this story is exactly the same as in Matthew 25. But do business till I come. And then in our very own book of James, chapter 4, verse 17. This is a warning. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. My encouragement tonight, be a doer of his word. Because if he's told you to do something and you neglect what he's told you to do, it is sin. But if you are a faithful doer of his word, he will bless whatever you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you speak into our lives, Lord, how though things might not always be easy to hear, Lord, it is always good to hear what comes from your word, Lord. We know that we do need to be doers of your word and not just hearers only, Lord, not just taking it all in and doing nothing with it, Lord. Perhaps thinking we're safe and secure because we're listening. But when we don't apply your word, Lord, it does us no good. So please help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers only, Lord. Help us to see what's coming out of our mouths as well, Lord, and use that as a gauge of what's going on in our hearts. And if we see stuff in our mouths that doesn't belong, Lord, that we would deal with what's in our heart, Lord. So we do ask that you would search us and know us and see if there's any wicked way in us, Lord, and help us to deal with that. If you reveal any of that stuff to us, Lord, and just give us strength to walk this walk, and may we do those things that please you. Give us ears to hear your voice guiding and directing us, Lord. and hearts to receive and apply your word. In Jesus' name, amen.